Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Obviously, though, the Knicks have to take care of business going out there tonight.
There's no question. The way that I woke up today is, wow, I mean, night and day compared to how I woke up yesterday. Yesterday was all about lamenting and blaming and screaming and, you know, oh, woe is me. Today is about regeneration. And I could feel it. Every Knicks fan that I passed a bunch just walking from the garage right to the station, Knick hats, you know, hoodies, little dap, you know, like there's a little spring in the step. I notice it's back. Guys around the station, a lot of Knicks fans, obviously. Everybody feeling good. Not overly cocky, not overly, hey, you know, this is going to be easy. But, like, yesterday's emotion was warranted. Today's emotions, I believe, are warranted as well. I feel good about tonight. However, I will feel great about tonight if there's one subtle adjustment. I know Tom Thibodeau's not going to mess around and change the starting five. I get that. That's too much to ask. I don't think they even need to do that. But there are numbers, and I don't want to hit you with them yet because they're getting bombarded with numbers is too much on the radio. I understand that. But they're and some numbers don't really matter, some do. I came across something that does. And quite frankly, the starters have to play less and the subs need to play more. That's the short version. I've got to see more Mitch and I've got to see more Deuce. And I've got to see a little less, whether it's Josh Hart, whether it's Brunson, even taking down his minutes, whether it's Bridges, whether it's OG, whether it's Cat. Whatever Tom Thibodeau thinks he needs to do to make sure the two guys on the bench play more, he's got to start doing tonight. Has to.
See, I don't want any changes.
Why?
Because the Knicks were playing as perfect a game as they've played in the postseason for the best. I mean, I was going to say three quarters, but it was even more than that. The majority of that game outside the final few minutes, I don't think anybody's been calling, complaining about lack of Mitch or lack of Deuce. Like, I can't have the season on the line and be concerned about getting Deuce McBride more minutes. I understand the impact of Mitchell Robinson, but let's not forget that when Mitch is on the floor, specifically in a tight game,
yep,
he is a liability offensively. I know the Pacers don't want to slow down the game, but still at the end of the game, you want them fouling Mitch? I don't. So I think there's a reason why Tibbs has done what he's done. Look, game one we got to put behind us, but it was a total collapse. I'm not blaming that Mitchell Robinson wasn't on the floor. I don't need to see more of Deuce. I think in an ideal world, yeah, you'd like to see the bench come in and spell the starters, but ultimately, and by the way, we saw a lot of that in that game one.
And that was some of the best work they put out. Think about the way the game started. The Pacers came out, they hit, what, their first nine shots?
Right.
That's the starters.
Right.
And think about the way they finished the game.
Right.
That's the starters.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, the starters got rocked.
Well, and look, and when Jalen Brunson goes out with foul trouble early fourth quarter, you had this
10-0 run.
I get it.
I mean, those are three things that are big.
Know, but to me, that's a one-off thing. We've all talked about the lack of that. You want to see more campaign?
No, I didn't mention campaign's name. That's why I said Deuce, and that's why I said Mitch.
But there are three bench players. I mean, you want to throw in a Chua, who's four?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a little more Chua.
Well, all right, well, maybe you give. And who are you going to take out with him? If you want more Mitch and you don't want. How are you going to take Cat off the floor in a series like this where he's going to score 30 a night?
I'll be honest with you. I think that the adjustments got to come based on the way the guys are playing. Like, if you get another. Another dud from OG Anunoby. OG's got to sit, man. I mean, these up, down, wild, all-star, invisible. Like, you've got to be able to read the room. Talking about Tom Thibodeau. Read the room a little bit better and understand that, you know, listen, if OG is not involved in the game, then OG's got to take a seat. There's nothing wrong with that.
Here's, to me, the biggest question. Because the one guy that I ripped, or not ripped, but criticized, was Jalen Brunson. He was gassed, the sloppy turnovers, you know, sloppy ball handling, the fouls, the silly fouls. Like, he's got to be smarter. He's even said himself he's got to be smarter here. So we all understand that. There was good reason or a good argument to be made that Tibbs should have kept Brunson on the bench longer or gotten away from Brunson knowing that he's gassed. But that's a huge problem because now you're taking Jalen Brunson off the floor in crunch time, which Nick would you want the ball in his hand more? Even a gassed Jalen Brunson, in my opinion, I'd rather go down with a gassed Jalen Brunson than I would Deuce McBride. Would you rather have, if the game is playing out the same way and your eyes are telling you, hey, the bench is on fire, even without Brunson here, you're going to keep him glued to the bench?
Listen, there, I understand. I'm going to answer it, but you got to understand it. I know you do, but it is a tough navigation.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's the franchise player. There's big egos, there's big contracts, whether it's Cat. I know that obviously Brunson left some money on the table, which is another reason why we love him. Very selfless New York Knick and a great leader, very selfless leader. But you've got to, if the Knicks are up big, right, and they're getting some stops, then you just, hey, listen, I don't care that your dad's the coach and I don't care that you're our captain. You got to sit for a little bit.
Well, that's
it's a tough call, but you got to make it. You want to win championship.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I would not, just because I'd rather go. Now, it doesn't mean I'm right. It's just my opinion. I'd rather go down with Brunson like he did in game one. Game one was probably and hopefully the best example that we're going to see of a situation that would call for Brunson being put back on the bench or staying on the bench, because why go back to the starters there? Why go to Brunson there when the bench is thriving and building up that big lead? And then when you do go back to Brunson, A, he's got five fouls, so he can't play defense to begin with, and now he's got five fouls, so he really can't play defensive liability. B, he's clearly visibly gassed.
Mm-hmm.
So the
shot.
Well, that's the point.
Shot.
Even the shot at the end, like, yeah, you want him taking it, but it just was nowhere near where it needed to be because you could tell he was gassed. So that was going to be the best case for keeping him on the bench or putting him to the bench from Tibbs. And I cannot blame Tibbs because I'd rather go down with my superstar. You're saying different.
By the way, I'm not even blaming him. I am encouraging him to react to what's presented to him tonight maybe differently than I expect that he will. Like, let's face it, Tom Thibodeau is stubborn. He's been coaching a long time. He's set in his ways. You got to give, I say this with affection. You got to give the old donkey, you know, a little shove, like the old mule, a little stubborn mule. You got to give a little push. So this is my push here. See, what's happened very quietly, we've talked about the Knicks gaining chemistry as these playoffs have gone on, and it's been a real thing. Obviously, Jalen missed the 15 games with the ankle. Mm-hmm. OG played very well and was emboldened by that, and I think he took a step up in terms of being a more of a role on this team. And then the Pistons was physical, and then the Celtics were the issues that they presented, and here we are round three. But what's happened along the way is two guys, one we always talk about in Mitch, but the other guy that has gotten healthy is Deuce McBride. And Deuce McBride was given a 3-year extension for a reason. Deuce McBride was somebody that I wanted to keep out of trades for a reason. Deuce McBride is somebody who earned the trust of his teammates and the staff for a reason. Now, the Deuce that we saw early in the year, Sal, is not the Deuce that we're seeing right now. Deuce McBride, you see, we look at Deuce, we're like, I could come in, he's a little 3-point shooter. And I did make that a key point in the Celtics series. I think the number was 12 for 13, where I said if he could make 12 for 13 threes, I thought the Knicks could mess around and win the series. This is before Tatum went down, right. And of course they did. But what Deuce does, Deuce is a lockdown defender. And Deuce has made plays in both series already. Number one, he had a trail block in the Celtics series, which was phenomenal. And then he had a block at the rim the other night with the Pacers. Yep. So I look at this and I say, all right, now I know what my eyes are telling me. Is there a statistic that can back up what I think I'm seeing? And now I'm going to give you the quick number. Do you realize, Sal, in 25 minutes and 50 seconds the other night, the Knicks starters gave up 77 points. If you make that a full game, Sal, you're knocking on the door of 150-something points given up.
Right, but
and that's not by accident. That's because Cat is a deficient defender, and so is Brunson.
But how many points did they score? I mean, think about that. You want this team to be able to score. I don't trust, obviously not Mitchell Robinson, and I don't trust Deuce to light it up the way that the starters can. He played 25 minutes, Deuce McBride.
Yep.
How many more minutes you want him to play? And well, with Mitchell Robinson.
See, what did Mitch play? How many? What was Mitch at? 21.
He played 21 minutes.
He's got to play 27, 28 minutes. Come on.
Here's the
playoffs.
But here's the other aspect
run
of
him
that.
Out there, Sal.
Let's go.
What are we waiting for? Training camp.
You're losing offense in a series where you know you're going to need to score points against this team. Also, it could be, Deuce and Mitch, their numbers are great. Plus minus is great. Yeah, maybe the reason for that is because they're playing a certain amount of minutes, and the more you play the guys on the bench, the more likely that they get exposed. I'm not trying to minimize McBride or Mitchell Robinson. You know how much I love Mitchell Robinson. I'm high on him dating back to last offseason, so you've seen the impact that he has, but he also has limitations, and there's a reason why he's not playing that many minutes. Same thing with Deuce McBride. I like Deuce. I don't trust him offensively nowhere near the way that I do the other guys. I also don't think he's as valuable as, say, Josh Hart. So you're going to take Josh Hart off the floor?
And I would.
You would take
it, certain 100%. I would have no issue, again, based on, I got to see the score, I got to see where we are, I got to see some foul issues. If you go for, 4, 5, 6 minutes and you've got, maybe you go big. I'm not saying to start. I know he's not going to mess around with the starting five.
And that really doesn't matter anyway.
That's true.
Like against the Celtics, it was different because they kept getting pasted early on in these games.
Yeah.
I don't think the start is imperative in this series. You know the Pacers are going to hit shots. The Knicks, you need the guys who are going to answer them out of the game.
Yeah. And the Knicks are going to be able to score pretty much at will against this Pacers team. Right. So even if the Pacers come out hot like they did in game one, you're not really worried about falling behind 16-4 like they did with the Celtics, whatever it might be. I agree with that. But I have no problem if you've got a little Mitch, Cat, whatever small forward's playing well, at a backcourt, again, small doses here, Deuce and Brunson. Like, I would be worried, Sal, if there were no internal options for the Knicks. There are.
But they have, I say three loosely, but their bench is basically two guys who are used quite a bit.
Yeah, but I don't think they're used enough. And I think that that's the slight adjustment that if Tom Thibodeau can embrace, the Knicks will play great tonight.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Anthony is in Bridgewater. What's up, Ant?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Big one tonight. Let me just talk real quick about what you guys are talking about. I think there's two ways to look at this. First off, you're winning by 14 with 2.5 left. But the other thing is, if you're going to make changes, it's to me about the pace. Do you guys think the Knicks are going to win this series 132 to 125 every game?
No.
Because if they are, then you keep that lineup. You put the lineup in with, Deuce and all that. But if you're trying to win a game 95 to 102, I think you got to go with more Mitchell Robinson to keep Hart in the game. I don't see this game being in the 90s. I think they have to try to score with him the way the pace goes. I don't know what you guys think about that. I don't think the Pacers are going to let the game be in the 90s.
Well, here's the thing, Ant. I think the answer is actually somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with trying to win 135, 134. That's more the Pacers style. That does not benefit the Knicks. And also, even though we've had certainly some low-scoring games so far with the Knicks, it's unrealistic to think that they're going to win, like it's the 90s, 93 to 89. That's simply not going to happen very often. I think the answer is somewhere in between. The Knicks can't win tonight 117, 112. Now, they could if you have Deuce on the perimeter and you have Mitchell Robinson in the game more, so that as soon as they get the ball, they don't score in 3 seconds. That's part of the reason.
Do you think it's more likely the Knicks win a low-scoring game against the Pacers? More likely they slow them down, or more likely they're going to have to match the offense?
Well, if they don't make the adjustments from a personnel perspective, they're going to have to try to win 135, 134.
Well, to me,
you can win somewhere in between. I just don't know if he's going to do it.
I don't even think more Deuce, more Mitch, because that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely, 100%, yes.
I don't even think more Deuce, more Mitch is going to be able to slow the Pacers down enough. The Knicks are going to have to score.
Why not?
I just don't believe it, BT. Not enough to the point where the Knicks... offense, to me, is more valuable here. Now, you got to hope that they're going to miss some shots and have the guys on the floor, mainly Bridges, mainly OG. Those guys are going to have to play better defense. We know Cat's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And we also know Jalen Brunson's not going to do it. He's got to be smarter. But those guys aren't great defenders. I think in this series, to beat the Pacers, you're going to have an offense that they were built to have. This is how the Knicks are built. Let's not pretend this is not. The Knicks aren't the Pistons, and this isn't the 90s. The Knicks are supposed to win because they have a high-octane offense this year.
And they do have a high-octane offense. Problem is, the matchup now calls for, you know, trying to steal a few possessions because the Pacers have probably more of a high-octane offense. And that's where the adjustment comes in. You know, think of how many times, whether it's a meaningless halftime interview, coach, what do you need to do in the at halftime? We got to make adjustments. You know, like the interaction after the first quarter in the NBA, going back to with Popovich, you had great disdain for that. Coach, what do you need to do? We got to get better. We have to rebound more. Like, we talk about adjustments in very broad terms. This is an adjustment that they must be considering. And if they're not, then they're not really trying to win the series. They got to play more Deuce and Mitch.
Andrew's calling from Long Island. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, boys? How are you?
Good.
Good, buddy. What's happening?
So just a few comments on what we're talking about right now. I'm on the belief that I think Mitch and Deuce got to play more, especially in a game like last game. You got them up big down the stretch. They're playing well. You got Brunson with five fouls. There's no reason to have him in. Now, no one's going to complain when you put Brunson in and, you know, live and die by him. He deserves that, everything. But when he has five fouls, he's been playing this pace of play against the Pacers, pushing the ball all game. It's not like a regular season game. I know that our starting five, starting seven, whatever you want to say, is in shape more than any other teams, pretty much. But against Pacers, who are using their bench all game, pushing the ball, Brunson's got five fouls. I don't understand why we don't keep in the defensive lineup when we have the chance to, you know.
Well, you do understand. You do understand because it's Jalen Brunson. So you want Jalen Brunson off the floor, or you wanted him off the floor in that spot, and you'd be willing to take him off the floor again in game two?
I think if they're up with 5 minutes left, Brunson's got five fouls, and the defense is working, and they're up 15 points or whatever, you keep him out as long as you can. If it gets, you know, to 7-8 points, you give Brunson a little bit more rest, and then, you know, you let him go do his thing with a minute left up six and well rested.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're plotting out what we would do. There's a chance that the profile of tonight's game is so different that it doesn't even enable what we're saying they should do for them to try to do. But I just think that, like, I feel good about this. Like, I would be very worried if I watched that game the other night and I'm sitting there, I'm saying, oh man, okay, what the Pacers are trying to do, the Knicks just can't match. There's a reason the Knicks were favored. Trust me, Vegas did not just realize that, wow, the Pacers want to score 130 points, and they did not just realize what the Knicks roster was. But the realization for Tom Thibodeau must come. This, to me, is his biggest test, because the knock on Tom Thibodeau has always been he's stubborn. He's stubborn. He is married to his ways, and his ways are pretty good. Again, I'm not dissing him.
He's playing his best players.
I get that, but there's also certain spots, whether it's the bullpen navigation or do I run or pass in the NFL, where you've got to make tough decisions, and sometimes egos might get bruised, and that's tough.
In the scenario that our caller just brought up, and we talked about that, I can understand why he would say, I'm not going to go back to Brunson there. You're up 15 or whatever late. They're playing good defense. Don't need to go to Brunson until you have to. But it is Jalen Brunson. The other part of this thing, though, is the Knicks, what they were doing worked. It worked. They had an all-time choke job. I can see if we were saying this after they got beat in game one, like a clean beat, and hey, you know what? They're going to make some adjustments here. But they had them dead to rights. They, even with all the issues, they were up 9 points with under a minute to go.
I get it. I guess I'm just trying to be proactive because I know this Pacers team's like, they're, this is not going to be, I don't say they're not capable of it because they're humans, but they're not going to come in and they're not going to have a game where they're 91, 92, 93 points. They're just not. Now, the Knicks could, although I don't think that'll happen in this series necessarily.
It might happen in game three or four on the road, I can see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking to get ahead of this. And listen, I've been a bigger Deuce fan than Mitch.
Yeah.
I've loved him. I thought it was a great draft pick. I love the coach he played for in college at West Virginia.
You want 30 minutes from Deuce?
I don't know
five?
If I want 30,
they
but I want
25.
I want more important minutes. You know, I want more. Maybe some more, some different configurations where he plays with different players. Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. All right, good. We flushed it. We're good. Everybody's back to normal. Everybody's feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
Me too. Everybody's feeling loose. Now, you and I are saying how they should attack it maybe a little differently, but the two Knicks fans here on this show, we're feeling good about tonight. We'll get back to the cold. A little baseball today, not a ton, but obviously a massive, massive Knick day.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air.
What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Ooh, is it a must-win game? Oh, okay, yeah. So what? Just every game seven's a must-win game, or down to the elimination game for teams a must-win game? No, it's part of the fun conversation to have hypothetical must-wins. This is a must-win game for the Knicks. I don't see the Knicks winning the series. When you say must-win, it doesn't mean that if they lose, they're eliminated. We know that. But if the Knicks lose tonight, I do not see a way that they come back and win this series.
I disagree. I think that they could. I think they're the better team. Not by much. Like, if they lost, if they came back from Boston 0-2, like, they had to win one of those games.
I get it. Okay.
They had to win one of those there. This now, if you go 0-2 at home, it really complicates the journey.
Plus the way the game one went.
Understood. Now, if they were to come out and if they were to get rocked tonight, then we can start to piece together, wow, maybe they didn't recover emotionally from what happened in game one. And I want to win tonight.
You think they
must win? I don't think they have to win.
All right, so let's play the worst case that they lose tonight.
Yep.
Now you're going to try to regenerate. We're not going to be on together. Obviously, it's the weekend. Game three is Sunday night.
Yep.
Okay, so you're like, what would be the path for the Knicks winning the series? They got to win two in Indiana.
Well,
Back down 3-1.
I mean, I'm okay with it. Not looking to sign up for it now. If they lose tonight and they're 0-2, and I don't think they will, but if they were, right, I think you get a totally different whistle in game three. Don't we know how the NBA works by now? Like, if the Knicks are down 0-2, you don't think the NBA is going to do whatever they want to do to stretch this out a little bit? Now, I'm not saying that they, you know, hit the buzzer, hey, make sure the Knicks win. Not quite like that.
They might.
Well, maybe the bat phone does ring a little bit. This has been going on for years. Come on.
And that's the appeal, by the way, for those conspiracy theorists. That's the genius of game one. where it's like, well, the NBA could sit back and say, well, we didn't fix anything. Look at game one. All the calls went the Pacers' way.
Yeah. They messed up a bunch. Yeah. We hit on that. So I actually think the Knicks get a much more favorable whistle tonight, which I think will obviously yield, hopefully, and I believe yield good results. No, if they were to go down 0-2, I think there's enough character. I think there's enough talent. I think there's enough will for them to fight back and get to a game seven. I really do.
The will, yes. Character, yes. Reality, to me, no. If they lose two straight at home, especially in the fashion that they did in game one, I'm already nervous about going to Indiana. And maybe that's just me being burned from years of going to that damn building.
Yeah.
The field house and that atmosphere. Indiana has always been a very difficult place to play.
I agree.
For the Knicks.
So that's true.
I could see them splitting. I can't see them getting both. And if they didn't get both and they did lose tonight, obviously they'd be coming back down 3-1.
Yep.
Win a game five. You're going to win three in a row against this.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let's say if they don't win tonight and they're down 0-2, you say it's a must win. Now, do you think they get losing four or five? You don't think they even make it a series at that? Because even if they lost tonight, like, to me, there's no doubt in my mind that it's going deep. Like, they're still going to find a way
to scratch.
And I think they're going to win the series no matter what. But I'm saying, if they lost tonight, you're still getting six.
I could see that.
Okay, so then if you could see them getting six, and you trust their character, which I know you do, and you trust their will, which I know you do, and you trust their talent, which you've trusted them more than me. Why would you at that point give them a chance to get to seven, which would be at the Garden?
Because then they'd have to win two on the... Remember, I told you before this series that I thought home court was going to be a big thing in this series. And the way that it was going to start was looking great. All right, protect home. I thought the Knicks would go up 2-1, get one there, and finish it in five.
Mm-hmm.
So if I think home court's a big deal and the Knicks lose the first two, I don't think the Knicks are getting two there.
Okay, I got you.
That's my math behind that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Sal is in Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Sal?
Hey, what's up, guys? How is everybody?
Good. How are you, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
I'm doing fine. I want to quote somebody from Monday Night Football. Don't get mad at me, but Dandy Dan Don Meredith, turn out the lights. The party is over.
For who?
The Knicks go down 0-4. They're finished. They got no bench. They got no defense. Cat is soft.
Are you a Nets fan, Sal? I'm hearing Nets fan in your voice.
No.
Who do you root for?
I am a basketball fan. I root for the Celtics.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was a bigger loser than the Nets fan, a Boston fan.
Put that aside. I root for New York teams also.
Yeah,
From what I've seen, they don't have the players to match up with Indiana. Indiana's in their head. They're thinking about Reggie Miller.
No, they're
I'm
not,
telling
Sal.
You right now. Even
Come
the
on,
yes, they
Sal.
Are. They were up by 14 points.
Yeah, but
they had 9 points with a minute to go.
So, Sal,
Come
you're
on,
a big, hold
guys.
On, Sal. Sal, hold on. You're a big NBA fan, you said, right? So I assume that you watch everything.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I got you. I believe you, okay? But if you watch the NBA,
since
then
I'm
you
retired, I watch a lot.
Great. I got you. I believe you. But okay. If that's the case, then you would realize that this happened against the Bucks, and this also happened in the second series against the Cavaliers. Big comebacks in the NBA are common, dude, because of the 3-point shooting.
The Knicks are done, bro.
What an intelligent response. Come on.
You could think that's the case. I should have asked him, although we had to let him go here, but I was thinking, what was his prediction coming into the series?
Yeah.
Did he think Pacers in four? Maybe that would be in a line what he thought. Did he think the Knicks just can't recover from that type of loss? But it clearly was. My senses were a little off. I knew he was hurt, a hurt fan.
Yeah.
I should have known better because he did sound really hurt.
A little wounded still. A little residual wound from the previous series, of course.
Exactly.
Yes.
Blood's still fresh.
Band-aid still there. I got you.
Understood. Fresh in there because, mm-hmm. you know, the yeah. Knicks, for those of you who may not know, the Knicks eliminated the Boston Celtics in six games, and they did so in convincing fashion about a week ago.
It was a layup line. That was a good one. Sal, did you watch that game, Sal?
Well, it really
Knicks
wasn't
by 42 here at the Garden.
And we use the term game loosely, because that really wasn't much of a game on
That's
Friday.
That's a good scrimmage.
Elvin is calling from Elizabeth, New Jersey. What's up, Elvin?
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
How are you?
Buddy.
Good, good. I was going to say, Sal, he should never call back, but when he said he was a Celtics fan, it brought me so much joy that we inflicted that bitterness on him. I love that call.
Call back whenever you want, Sal.
Get back to us, Sal. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Kid Rock. Hey, listen, guys, I just wanted to say, the one thing that I think Tibbs is missing that would elevate him is he needs a better feel for the game. I know game one, he lost with his best players on the court. I get it. But I think Mitch and I think Deuce have built enough equity that if they have that lead and they're looking good, give Jalen a rest. So my only ask is for game two, if the starting five built the lead and come in the subs and they're looking good, let them play. If that lead drops down below double digits, I get it. Put your big boys in. But Tibbs needs a better feel for the game, and that's my only ask.
Okay. First of all, I think that's an outstanding point. I really do. Good call. Thank you for that, Elvin. My question, before I even expand a little bit further, at this point in his career, how do you develop a better feel for the game?
Okay. I love what Elvin just said. I understand what both you guys are saying. All I'm saying is the head coach went with his best player.
I'm not just talking about that, though. I don't even have to battle that. Like that, I get that.
But that is the prime example in game one. And if that same thing played out in game two, are we supposed to say Tibbs is supposed to have a better feel and say, you know what, let me keep my superstar glued to the bench in lieu of Deuce McBride? Because that's really what we're talking about here. Mitch Robinson, now you know I love him more than most. He is a liability on the floor late in games because they could just foul him and send him to the line. Mm-hmm. It's an automatic stop, essentially.
Yeah, for
you're
sure,
guaranteeing
for sure.
The pace is a stop.
I agree, but I'm talking more about the first 43, 44 minutes of the game, not so much the final three or four where you got to get him off the court.
But that's what cost the Knicks the final few minutes.
Okay, so
this one example.
No doubt about it. And by the way, when like that, Elvin, you nailed it, man. To me, that really encapsulates my biggest issue with Tom Thibodeau. Because he's obviously good. He's really good. He's won a lot. And when the Knicks enter a big game or a series, big game tonight, series a couple of nights ago, I have no doubt in my mind that they are buttoned up when it comes to film, that they are buttoned up when it comes to advanced scouting, that they are buttoned up when it comes to discipline and accountability.
No
doubts about that. None. He's actually great at that. My issue with Tom is when things are going on in the game, and this regular season stuff too, Sal, for years, like a guy, like a role player's hot, he pulls him.
That's fair.
Like
I know.
He's married to certain things. Like there's not enough adaptability that I think the great ones possess, and I do worry that he's going to remain convicted with what he thinks is the way to beat this team, and I'm not so sure that I agree. Now he's the coach, and he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. I grant him that. But there are things that even, you know, fans or average people could see, like, oh, what are you doing? And we saw a few the other night.
Dom is calling from Old Bridge. What's up, Dom?
Dommy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
I want to talk a little Knicks first, but I wanted to check in on a take from the other day. I called in and said Juan Soto's strike zone was a little off, and he kind of brushed it off like, you know, it was the umpires. I think that take aged pretty well. But anyways.
First of all, it's been a couple of days. Well, first of all, we're not talking about Juan Soto right now. That's number one. Number two, how many games has been played since you said that about Soto?
Well, I mean, I watched him stare at six strikes from Garrett Crochet right down the middle.
So what? What does that mean?
Look,
I'm just saying
it's a confidence thing, but it all ties back to he's just
fair enough. Do you not think Juan Soto knows the strike zone?
I think right now, he, for whatever reason, his strike zone is a little off right now.
Okay.
Hey, Sal, Dom, hold on. Yeah. Sal, let's go for what it is. This guy's just calling to take a bow. Yeah. He's going to take a bow in two games. Days.
Dom, do me a favor. Call back next week or 2 weeks after that or 3 weeks after that.
Look, I'm not just a bitter Yankee fan. He's going to pick it up. He's going to crush it. He's too good not to.
Right.
But I think right now, for whatever reason,
he doesn't know the strike zone right now.
He's a little confused. Even Keith said the other night he missed the hanging cutter. Like, he's definitely out of whack. He knows the strike zone. He's just not reacting to what he knows. That's the point now. Go ahead, Dom.
Fair enough. Anyway, look, the Knicks are taking this series five, maybe six games.
There we go, Dom.
I think they're the better team. I think the Pacers, even though they let the Pacers control the pace of play in game one, They like to, you know, the Knicks like to play a little bit slower, control the pace, get to the foul line. I don't think they did that enough, and they still hung with them. It took way too much for the Pacers to win that game. I just don't think they, I don't think they have it.
Yeah, and thanks, for the call, Dom. He touched the nerve with Soto. Very sensitive about my guy Juan Soto right now.
Well,
people are piling on Soto.
And rightfully so.
No.
What do you mean no?
I'm not turning on Soto. You know, I was the first.
Asking you to turn on him, but I mean, the guy didn't swing the bat the other night. Strike one, strike two,
it's
strike three, strike one,
Nancy
strike two,
lefty.
Strike three.
He's trying to get used to the three hole. Hey, look, you know I criticize Soto. Remember, I got a lot of flack for that from a lot of people. Everyone. So it's not that I would not criticize him. I did. I was ahead of the curve on it. Now, when my guy's getting ripped left and right by everybody, and there's starting to be some doubt involved, starting to be missing the Yankees, this and that, maybe trading back, I'm all in on Juan Soto. All in.
Protection mode is kicking
100%.
In.
100%. I have to protect
that.
My guy.
He's a little fragile now.
Matter of fact, of anybody on the Mets, I'm all in on Soto. You name a Met, I'm all in on Soto. If it meant getting rid of everybody else and keeping Juan Soto, I'm keeping Juan Soto. He's the one who walks in there with the championship ring, with the postseason pedigree, with the immense success. I cannot sit back and take... We know he's struggling right now.
Yeah.
I cannot sit back and take the Soto slander. I think it's gone overboard now.
What about the stuff? Now, there's the baseball stuff, and we're going to actually do a little Soto later. I got something for you. But what about the baseball stuff versus the body language? Those are two very different things. We can explain... You know, runners in scoring position, you know, maybe expanding the zone, maybe not swinging at good pitches, maybe being in a baseball funk. What about what he's projecting body language-wise?
Well, you know, I to me, the most important thing is that Soto shuffle. I want to see that. That'll tell me that he's back as opposed to the other numbers. He'll get there. He's clearly not there yet. But I would be worried more about that. And I think it's coming sooner than later. He's not that far off. Even against Boston, where he looked lost in the series, now again, I'm certainly not one for giving out participation trophies in the almost home runs. But it's not like
you almost did a home run. That's where we're at. Remember the one that was fouled a couple of weeks ago when he had three and a half home runs, and now he's got another one. We'll give him a quarter. He hit the wall 36 and a half feet up.
My guy needs me right now.
Oh boy, he's hurting, buddy.
Dom,
he needs a couple good games of what he needs.
I will admit I'm very sensitive to Juan Soto right now. I was thinking Knicks. I want to stay positive and focus on the Knicks. I hope the Mets can be on the back burner when we're running on the Knicks right now.
Uh-huh.
Let Soto cook a little bit quietly. But yes, you did bring up something earlier. We will get to Soto
a little later. Something for you.
Touch the nerve, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, Come on. I understood.
Very sensitive.
Thought you were getting Juan Soto, and you got a 4A player.
I whispered a week ago, the last words that I whispered at the microphone for the week were, Soto.
I know.
And then you came back Monday, the first words you whispered,
Soto. And listen, you made this bed with the trumpets, with the King Cohen stuff, with the shenanigans. I had to sit there. I had to take it like a man. And I did because you guys won the battle. You took them from us. And I wasn't going to rain on the parade. The struggles, I'm enjoying them.
Understood. And I respect that. You should. And all I'm going to say is enjoy it while you can. Because I do think the clock is a ticking. Come on, Juan. All right, BT and Sal, the Fan Warrior Knicks calls when we come back. 888.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
808-1019. The Yanks are peaking at the perfect time as we enter Memorial Day weekend. I love to see it. Dude, the Rockies, like, it should not be allowed to have a team that bad. It can't be acceptable. That is just disgraceful. The owner, all that stuff, top on down. Baseball should not accept these teams that don't go out there and try to put together a team that can go legitimately compete.
But what do you do outside of having a floor in terms of a salary
number?
Yeah,
well, I mean, don't you think that that's...
I do. I do. I don't think there should be a cap. I think there's got to be an established floor for sure. Yeah, I do.
Dude, 8-40. Like, we thought last year's White Sox were bad, and they were.
I know.
This is way worse than that.
I heard this is the worst start in 50 games since the late 1800s.
How is that even possible?
I don't know, man.
See, baseball, with the expansion, you got players that shouldn't be in the big leagues in the big leagues. Then you expand the roster, so it's even worse. And yep. Then you have owners that don't want to spend, which leads to a lack of balance. And I'm on the side of, hey, screw them. Who cares about the Rockies or the Pirates? Because we're in New York. We want to go spend money, get the good play. That's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not good for the sport. And also, like, okay, great. So this weekend, Yankees squash the Rockies. What's that going to do for
you? You can tack on hopefully 3 more wins, get a little more separation. No, I get what you mean. But listen, everybody else has to play them. You know, don't lose two. I mean, listen, to sweep, I mean, yeah, of course you'd love to get three. Just make sure you win two.
I mean, dude, they've won 8 games all year.
I know. And remember how there was some talk about the Yankees a year ago, maybe going out and getting Ryan McMahon to play third base. We talked about it a little bit lefty. I remember seeing him with the against the Mets. I liked him. He's hitting two. He has just morphed into a wreck. He is just a mess. I don't know how he could be this bad. I really don't know.
The game I'm going to this year that I have tickets so far, remember the Cadillac Club? We still have to pick
with
out
the daughters.
Yeah,
well, are you talking about that?
We didn't do that yet. You never sent me a date on that one.
Oh, I know.
And we're starting to get midseason. So the game that I had, it just happened to be Mets-Rockies because it's Sunday afternoon.
Well, Soto should play well that day.
I left myself open for that one. I'm already planning out. I'm going to wear Soto something.
Yeah, are you?
You know, because Cadillac Club right there in right field.
Yes.
Got little Sammy going with her Soto jersey. She has one.
Love it.
Gonna let her know that's daddy's favorite player. This is our favorite player. Let's give Juan some encouragement here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe by then he'll be going nuts, but it's June 1st, I think. Point is, like, Mets Rockies.
Wow, I mean.
It's right. Dude, when you have 8 wins, it doesn't even feel like a real game. Not to say that they can't win a game.
Listen, take what you can get. The Mets have been a little cold lately here. I mean, it's not like they've won 13 straight, dude.
Let's get back to the Knicks.
Come on.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mark is in Kearney. What's up, Mark?
BT, Sal, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey,
Happy
buddy.
Friday.
How are you, Mark?
No doubt. What's up?
I'm doing all right. All right, so listen, with the Knicks, man, I know that one, that was a tough pill to swallow, right? But I sit there, like, the next day when I collected myself after that frustrating loss, and I sit there and I look like the Knicks absolutely were winning that game for 46 minutes, right? They were the better team on the court. Would you guys not agree?
Yeah, 47, actually. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, right? For 47 minutes. So, you know, I can't sit there and be like, I'm worried now. I still feel like the Knicks are going to come out, do what they do. And again, something like that, have that type of collapse, doesn't happen in the NBA like almost ever, right? It's been happened once in hundreds and hundreds of games. So I can't sit here and be like, man, I'm worried about this series now when, again, for the entire game, the Knicks were, they were winning.
I don't think, oddly enough, Mark, and thank you for the call, I think you're right. I don't think many people are worried. Have you felt like yesterday we were more, yes,
stunned.
We were, but I'm talking about when I say we, I mean the people called us yesterday. We were all venting the frustrations and shocked and stunned and trying to process what the hell just happened, mad, angry, frustrated. I don't think once we were, we certainly didn't, and I don't even think we heard from people saying, oh, the series is over, can't recover from that. If anything, I think that this team's mentality is the perfect mentality to recover from a brutal loss like that.
I agree, and that's where I think some of my confidence comes. Plus, I know they have a lot of good players here. I think we were all initially stunned, and then we were angry, and then we slowly started to reset, and now we're confident. I believe that that's the emotional flow.
Your word, regeneration, or regenerating today. That's how...
Yeah, you got to regenerate.
I feel confident. Come on. I'm starting to think, and now maybe this is too confident, but I was I'd be lying to you if I didn't say otherwise. During Mark, when he was talking right there, I started to think of what type of celebration would I drop on Halliburton? Like, yeah, why don't you choke on, you know what I mean? Like, how about...
I mean, let's just get one first.
I don't know, but I start to think of the end game, because he hurt us.
Yeah, he did. He's going to have to wear that.
So how are we going to... When it's over, I'm not talking about just from game two. Winning game two is not... You know, you're not going to celebrate that like he did from game one, even though they did it in an incredible fashion. I'm talking about the end game. There's got to be some kind of stuff. This dates back to last year as well, with him wearing that stupid Reggie Miller shirt. I'm thinking long game. What type of celebration are we going to drop on Halliburton when it's all said and done?
I mean, maybe you got to, the Garden's got to work in conjunction. You know, you got to find a good choke song. Nothing's jumping to my mind right in terms of a song. Like, usually you could say a word and I can come up with a song from any genre and kind of nail. So I'd have to look on that a little deeper. But I don't know. But the payback's got to be, it's got to hurt him. But he strikes me as the kind of guy who is resilient. Like, I don't think it's going to really bother him. Those slippery villains, he's got a little Reggie in him. Yeah. He really does.
Man, he's a lot more charming than Reggie Miller was, though. That's the one thing about Halliburton. I'll give him credit.
Yeah, because there's less hate. Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, all right.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.